name and where you live. And then, again, there's several people here that want to talk about it, so keep in mind that you got about 15 minutes for all of you. So.
Okay. I am Karina Garman. I am a farmer at the Green Market. My farm is Garman Family Farm. My kids and I, and my husband sometimes when I can, usually when it's riding the tractor, helps out. And I pretty much started the Sproul Green Market, and we've now renamed it the Dunwoody Sproul Green Market. If we are allowed to stay in Dunwoody next year, we're going to drop the Sproul so that we are the Dunwoody Green Market. We would like to pay homage to the people that, you know, support us and also give us name recognition of exactly where we're at. First of all, I would like to hand out the site plan of St. Patrick's, which you requested just a second ago. We did come prepared of where we're going to be setting up. I would also like to hand over a petition that was circulated on Saturday at St. Patrick's and among the congregation of St. Patrick's of people that would like the amendment to pass. Let me give you just a brief history of how we have come to this point and why we are here. This market actually started at the Dunwoody Nature Center. Don't remember how many years ago. I think it was about 7 years ago. And they attempted to have a market there. It was successful until DeKalb County found out that the Dunwoody Nature Center was having a market. They were charging the vendors fees, and DeKalb County didn't get a cut. So they said, you guys can finish out the year, but you can't come back. Sorry, tough. Not coming back, not going to do it. So at that point, the Sproul Center had tried to have a market on Saturdays and were unsuccessful in obtaining enough farmers because there are not enough farmers in Metro Atlanta to supply all the markets that are popping up all over the place. Sproul came forward to us and said, hey, we want you guys, you know, to come set up with us on Wednesdays, and we did. At first, it was just me sometimes. Sometimes it was me and one other farmer. You know, we were really happy if three people showed up, and I was really happy if I went home with $50 in my pocket. You know, not a big money maker at that point. But I knew the community that was starting to come was supporting us. They liked us. They understood that it was fresh and local, hand-picked stuff. They knew the difference between what we had and what a grocery store had. They welcomed that we brought in artisans like soap makers, honey people, that we had, you know, jams and jelly people, because that way they could come and get handcrafted things that, you know, that are, you can't get in the grocery stores lots of times. So 2 years ago, we decided, you know, we're getting kind of big, we need to have rules. And because of that, we did draft rules. The rules are based on the Cotton Mill Farmers Market rules, which I also helped start in Carrollton. And we made some changes because we are a strictly producer-only market. What does that mean? That means you have to make or grow what you sell, or you cannot participate. And we are getting to be known as the mean market that actually does check up on people and kick people out, because we have to kick people out for buying and reselling items, because that is considered brokering, and we don't do that. When Sproul started their new construction, you know, this has been ongoing, they kept saying, you know, it's going to happen any day, and it's supposed to definitely happen this year, we realized that we were going to need a new home. In the process of looking for a new home, we discovered that anywhere in Dunwoody, be it a commercial or a residential area, we were illegal according to codes. We looked at several different locations that were recommended with Patty Baker, and once again, the same thing that was pointed out as far as what was a good location for us is we were looking for several things. Adequate public facilities, so we're looking at bathrooms, access to electricity, access to water possibly, you know, if we needed it, and safety, and access for, we do have handicapped people that come. Of all the locations that we toured, one came close, but safety is a major issue, and that is over by the post office. If anybody has been over by the post office, we have a picture if you would like to see, the retaining wall with the shoddy fencing that children would go straight over. So at that point, you know, St. Patrick's was the only place forthcoming that we could set up at that gave us everything that we needed. And the fact that they have a little bit of shade is really nice too, because one question was hours of operation, 90 degrees or 90 plus degrees in August, and you're trying to keep produce fresh, just doesn't work very well, which is why we do set up from 8 to noon. We also discovered that they had Malachi Storehouse, and I have been for years trying to get charities to come pick up at the end of market when we have produce left over. Nobody, you know, we've had once or twice people coming, and we've never had people on a regular basis, you know, start doing that. So this was actually a win-win for us. Their parishioners would be able to attend the market and have fresh produce, and at the end of the day, when we do have, you know, some stuff that has not sold, instead of going all over town and trying to sell it to chefs and then collect the money from chefs, which is not always easy, then we could just donate it directly to, you know, a very good charity that would make sure that it got to the proper people that needed it. So that's where we're at right now. I realize that the major concern is that we are what we consider, what some people consider, a commercial operation going into a residential neighborhood. You know, we're basically a club of farmers with a few artisans thrown in. The market itself does not make any money. You know, the individual farmers, yes, we do make money, and that's why we do what we do. We can't just give it away. It would be nice if we could, but so that's basically where we're at. We want to stay in Dunwoody. If we cannot open, however, in May 2009, it's gone. I don't have the time, and I don't have the energy to do it all over again. I honestly don't. I don't have the time to put it all, or the energy to put it all back together again. The farmers and the artisans are going to find other markets to go to. And unfortunately, a good midweek market is what the Metro Atlanta is lacking. Not everybody works 9 to 5. There are a lot of customers that want to come to midweek markets, and the farmers have stuff they need to sell. Talking with other vendors that go to other markets, our market is the best one. It's the most diverse. It's got the best customers that understand us. We love our customers. They're great people, and that's why we're fighting. It's for our customers. It's why we're fighting to try to get this amendment changed and or approved. And I think that's about it. I will be here for questions. I'm sure there may be questions about what we do or how we do it. But I don't want to take up all the time. So
thank you, Matthew.
Hi, I'm Renata Harris. I live about three houses away from St. Patrick's on River Glen Circle, 2588 River Glen Circle. And I'm speaking in favor of it, obviously. And I think it'll add a lot to my neighborhood, even if they sell baskets and honey, which I love. I've heard the concern that if we pass this, then every single church can open up a farmer's market. And I'd say, wouldn't that be a great thing? Because then everybody would have a farmer's market in walking distance to their house, not just me. You know, I mean, can't have too many, I wouldn't think. The traffic, I've heard, oh gosh, this is going to have a lot of traffic. Well, I'm on North Peach Street every single day, many, many times a day, because it's my way out of the neighborhood to go to Chestnut, to go to Kittredge, to go to Dunwoody, to go everywhere. And Georgia Perimeter College traffic, I mean, this is just a small drop in the bucket, one day a week. And I do think the morning hours are important, because I know in the summer, at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, I'm not going to be walking over to St. Patrick's. I'm going to be in the pool. It's really hot. So the time I would go would be, you know, 8 o'clock in the morning. Another thing they were talking about is, what if this opens the door to other businesses? Well, I think this is Dunwoody. This is not DeKalb County. We should be able to pick and choose exactly what we want in our neighborhoods. You know, we should be able to say, yes, we want a farmer's market. No, we don't want a strip club. Yes, we want to be able to wash our car. No, we don't want to have T-shirt sales or electronic sales. You know, I think that this is just, you know, we should be able to just specialize our neighborhoods, because we are just Dunwoody now. We're not DeKalb County. We don't have to think, oh gosh, what about those people that live in Stone Mountain? What about those people in Tucker? We're just Dunwoody, and we should be able to have it. And I would hate to see us lose it, especially like if it was deferred, if it wasn't allowed to be open right when they need to open it, then we'd lose it forever. And that would ruin, that would maybe not ruin my neighborhood, but I think that would take so much away from it, of the possibility that we have right now.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm Joan Shoemaker, and I'm a 25-year resident of Dunwoody, and I've been supporting the farmers market here for the last 5 years. And I see that this farmers market is really a partnership that our community has with these farmers to provide us fresh produce, and we in turn are supporting them so that they can come back every year. I fear that if we don't find a way of providing for them to operate, continue to operate in the Dunwoody area, that we're going to lose this relationship. And in the future, if we want to be able to have farmers coming in, it's going to be very difficult to find farmers who will want to work with us. So that is my biggest fear, that we'll lose that opportunity. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Ms. Schumacher. Yes, ma'am.
My name is Amy Inman. I'm actually a new resident to Dunwoody. I've just been here a year and a half, although I have family members who have been here since UPS came to the Atlanta area. And I actually moved here from abroad. I've lived in Europe for many years, as well as in Latin America. And there are farmers markets and marches and ferias all over the world. And every place I've been, every place I've lived, that is an essential part of the community. It's an essential part of the feeling of where you are when you go and you meet the person who grows the food. And even in big cities like Paris, the vendors know their customers, the customers know their vendors. And what an incredible opportunity for this new city to have that kind of relationship for the people who live here, for the people who grow the food. And that kind of farm-to-table thing is imperative in terms of the way a community needs to grow and develop. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. Yes, sir.
Hi, Joe Hirsch, Womack Road, Dunwoody resident. I want to remind y'all what it says on the dunwoodyga.gov webpage. There's just a few sentences on the homepage where it says that Dunwoody promotes entrepreneurship. I hope, please, that you don't put an asterisk next to that. And I know that today I want to acknowledge just a little bit so we can discuss this intelligently and rationally. Quoting from the Dunwoody Crier, where the Planning Commissioner, Bob Wilson, said that under the proposed code change, we are now considering allowing for-profit group to open up on property that was never intended to allow for-profit commercial activity, and that these vendors are selling their goods for profit and under any such stretch of the code should not be allowed. All right, well, noting that and using that logic, I want to remind you of what's coming up in just a few weeks on May 17th on Tillamill Road. It's the SunTrust Bank Market at the Jewish Community Center. I think it's a fabulous market. It's wonderful. But there will be dozens and dozens and dozens of marketers or persons that are private vendors in a residential neighborhood out in the parking lot, and they'll be selling shirts, crafts, food, jewelry, and I love it. I hope using that logic, you're not talking about shutting down SunTrust Market is part of the Israeli festival at the Jewish Community Center. Please don't say that that's the type of thing, the Pandora's box, that you want to shut down. It's in the exact same type of thing. It's a residential neighborhood zoned not for commercial activity, where people were selling out into the open public space. So I remind you of that analogy, and also remind you, it might be worth pointing out to staff attorney, the Religious Land Use and Institutionalized Persons Act of 2000, RLUIPA. As I understand that federal law, it states that unless there's a compelling reason not to, the religious institution cannot be zoned any harsher to anyone else. So if you grant and permit something such as the SunTrust Bank Market, whether it's at a Jewish community center or a private area, you cannot be harsher to a religious institution. That might be opening yourself up to a federal lawsuit if you prohibit this. Staff has offered some great recommendations. I'm in favor of some, such as the restrictions. But remember, this is such a wonderful opportunity to walk through. This is a great opportunity. I agree with the one-year permit. This has to be a partnership with the church. It's not something that this huge Pandora's box is going to come in with. So consider the recommendations. Don't be as strict as some of y'all have suggested. And I hope that you'll understand that Dunwoody should be promoting entrepreneurship and taking the logic and discarding what's been said by previous planning commissioners. Thank you.
Good evening. My name is Alice Rolls. I'm the executive director of Georgia Organics. And I guess I've been asked here to kind of provide a little bit of a bird's eye view. Just our organization, we work on sustainable food and farm issues. So we work with the Department of Ag, Department of Education, CDC, schools, you name it. We're working on this issue. And I just want to stop and say that this is a very exciting, dynamic time. And there is an absolutely fantastic, delicious revolution going on. And you all are in a very enviable state because you have a farmer's market. We field a lot of phone calls and we direct a lot of people to the Sproul Dunwoody Farmer's Market at our office. And probably some of the most repetitive questions that we get are, we want to start a farmer's market in our community. And we have to often be the bearer of bad news that we don't have enough farmers to support this incredible demand for good, healthy, clean food. I'd also just like us to take a second and remind ourselves why farmers markets are important. We have some huge issues that we're dealing with in our state. We have the environment. Water runoff pollution from farms is one of our biggest problems that we have. We have a 28% of our population is obese right now, so we're looking at health issues, we're looking at environmental issues, and we're looking at building our local economies. There was a recent study by the Project for Public Spaces that looked at farmers markets across the country, and 60% of the people that visited a farmers market actually visited some other vendor or establishment in their community. So there's tremendous opportunities for building community as well as supporting your other vendors. And just to give you an idea, we've seen substantial change in Georgia. We put out this local food guide, which is probably the best resource that we've ever done at Georgia Organics to connect people with local food sources. But in 2003, we had 9 farmers markets, and these are producer farmers markets, not necessarily the state-run markets, which I agree with you are often just sort of broker commodity distribution centers. We had 9 farmers markets. In 2008, we had 62. In 6 years, we've seen almost 600% growth in farmers markets. So my hope is that I'm coming back here in a couple of years to actually talk with you all about what I'm talking about with other municipalities, which is starting farm-to-school programs in your schools, creating community gardens on your parkland, working with developers to actually integrate farms, working farms into their development plans. These are all exciting things that we're doing in other communities, and I'm excited to work with you all and your emerging sustainability initiatives on some of these things. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. I want to give all of you an opportunity to talk, but we're at the 15 minutes. We'll extend that, but please condense it and try not to repeat everything ever said before. Thank you, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
Hi,
Everybody's doing it.
Everybody's doing it every time. You get the flower.
My name is Wendy Lauber, and I'm actually communications coordinator for St. Patrick's Episcopal Church. And so I'm here tonight to represent and voice the opinion of our clergy, our staff, our parish, and our vestry in favor of the green market at our location. We are thrilled that they're considering operating out of our facility because we have a great facility. We've got a lot of space, we've got parking, and we're blessed to have this opportunity to extend our hospitality to the green market. Corinne and I have been discussing at length the traffic, what kind of concern there might be for that, and she was able to clear up for me that we're talking maybe 10 to 20 vendors set up at a time with the potential of 10 to 15 customers coming through in that 4-hour period at one time. So it's not a big congested nightmare that we're kind of worried about. And the busiest times of the farmers market, according to Karina, are during the summer months, which is logical because children are out of school, they're more likely to have, the free time to come shop at the farmers market. So the busiest time appears to be during the summer months when school is out of session. I just wanted to tell you that we're thrilled to have the opportunity for the donation of the produce after the farmers market to benefit our food pantry. We're feeding 75 families a week from the surrounding areas. I believe it's 13 zip codes in a 7-mile radius. And times are tight, and so any additional help that we can get with feeding these families, we greatly, greatly appreciate. The only other thing I wanted to say is we realize that this may be a short-term relationship. If after a year there's a more suitable location found for the farmers market, that's great. We just want to keep them in Dunwoody, and we'll do whatever we need to do to keep them local so that we don't lose them as farmers and this wonderful opportunity. So thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
Hi, I'm Kathy Malcolm Hall, and I'm a parishioner at St. Patrick's and a resident of Dunwoody. And I am also privileged to be on the member of Malachi's Storehouse Board. So I come to you on behalf of the clients of Malachi's that we serve. We are averaging 72-75 families. Last week we had the great privilege of serving over 100 families at our food bank. It's orderly, it's respectful, it's collaborative, and we would so look forward to being able to give produce to these folks. We are able to purchase frozen goods, and we get dry goods from the Atlanta Community Bank, but produce is just very hard to come by. It's expensive and perishable, so it can't be stored in places. So we look at it as a win-win thing for the less fortunate folks that are in the surrounding. We serve 18 zip codes in a 7-mile radius. But I want to tell you, as I sit down with people at intake, it's people from two streets over. It's children that go to school with my little girl. So we reach far, but it is within Dunwoody that the people we're serving. And I would just encourage you to find the language to make the zoning appropriate enough so it really considers not opening Pandora's box. I'm respectful of that notion, but would just really encourage you to find the language to make it work for us. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. Thank you for the work, too. Yes, ma'am.
Hi, I'm Jim Matthews. I've been a resident of Dunwoody for about 25 years. I'm a loyal customer of this farmer's market. I would just like to assure the board that the quality of their products is outstanding. The heirloom tomatoes are to die for. The soaps.
Soaps, please.
It's a very, very outstanding market.
Thank you, ma'am.
Hi, my name is Jen Rosenthal. I'm actually one of the artisans that belongs to the farmer's market. I am the soap maker that belongs here. I just wanted to clear up a few things that the soap making itself, it's not just a melt and pour product. It's not just a craft that comes from a craft store or something that comes from the local Hobby Lobby. It's actually what we do is incorporating a lot of the produce and a lot of the honey and a lot of the organic matters, just not only from my local farmers, but also from some of the local folks in the community who bring me stuff as well. It's not just a basic material, and the history of handmade soap making goes back and has been considered part of an agricultural market and an integral part of most farmers' markets since the early 1800s. And if you guys have any questions, I'll be happy to answer any of those for you, too.
Thank you. Yes, ma'am.
I hadn't planned to speak, but as a 29-year resident of the city of Dunwoody...
What's your name, please?
Sorry, Emily Robinson. 29-year resident, I do want to just say that I support the additional items such as the soaps and the jams and the honey you brought to market. There are things that you can't purchase elsewhere, especially things like the honey. For those of us who have allergies, you know, if you have locally produced honey, it can ameliorate your allergies, and I can't go and buy that at Whole Foods because it's not going to contain the pollens that are local to this area. So these things are really necessary to the health and well-being of the citizens of Dunwoody. So I highly encourage you to include those in the market.
Thank you, ma'am. Yes, sir.
Good evening. My name is Justin Daniels. I did a little research about the farmer's market. If you type into Google Georgia's farmer's market, you'll get about 40 different markets. There were two in particular that drew my attention. The first one was the Marietta Square Farmers Market. I called and talked to that person on the phone, and apparently the one that had been done in the back of their church parking lot had been so successful, they moved it down to the street to a bigger lot because it had done so well. The other market that drew my attention was the one that's called Peachtree Street Market. It is held at the St. Philip's Church. It's in South Buckhead. The hours of operation for that particular market are from 8:30 a.m. until noon. The person to contact there is Mr. Bartholomew, and from what I could read on the website, although I wasn't able to talk to him before this meeting, they've had a very successful market. It is in South Buckhead, and I just thought that it would be important, as the council decides this, to just kind of take a look at some other examples of other farmers' markets that are actually being held on churches' property and that are very successful. I think at the end of the day, what the council needs to decide here is taking a look at an asset that has done very, very well here. The market's been around for a long time, and they have to weigh that against the thoughts and concerns of citizens that I'd at least like to hear some concrete examples of how those have been justified in other areas. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Mr. Daniels. Yes, ma'am.
My name is Sarah Bartlett, and I'm a resident of Sandy Springs, and I work in Dunwoody. And I'm a customer of the market.
A neighbor, you're a neighbor. Let's call you a neighbor.
I'm a neighbor. And I moved to Atlanta a couple of years ago, and choosing where I lived was really contingent on access to a farmer's market. It was very, very important to me. And just representing other young professionals, I think that you'll find that lots of other people of my generation feel that this is something that's very important in the communities that they choose to live in. And it's definitely something that's valuable. It's going to attract other young residents, and I think that we should hold on to it. I think the amendments to the code address any concerns you might have, especially, you know, letting the local community decide what types of markets are going to be allowed. I think that all the restrictions can ameliorate any of your fears on that. And any noise that you might be concerned about, the only thing you're going to hear at this market is going to be the sound of old friends greeting each other and people laughing because they're so delighted at the colors of carrots and tomatoes that they didn't even know existed. So.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you. Ditto, being in the same generation as the girl, lady that spoke before. My name is Megan Brightwell.
I'm in that same generation.
I am very pregnant this year, and so usually would be supplementing my produce with a garden, but I won't be doing that this year because I will be probably having a newborn. But I have not heard anyone speak about the other amazing aspect of having local farmers coming to Dunwoody, which is that when whose grandfather is a farmer, but that's in rural Kentucky, so I haven't really been able to learn much about farming from him, wanted to get involved in gardening and do things to my own space, particularly organic gardening, I was able to go to the farmers and say, Karina, how do I grow tomatoes? And what's this thing that's gone wrong in my Brussels sprouts? And get answers so that not only am I getting the benefit of the tremendous, amazing, fabulous produce picked yesterday, but I'm also getting the benefit of the education and experience of the farmers coming from places I would not drive to my backyard to teach us how to do things that we wouldn't otherwise know how to do and improve the quality of our communities even more locally.
Thank you very much. Okay, now for those who are speaking in opposition to this, anybody wants to line up, please line up at the mic. In fairness to the opposition, they will get the same amount of time since we went over day one. Bill, you're up.
Well, I'm Bill Grossman. I live in the Branches. I'd like to speak to a point that Mayor Pro Tem Shortle referred to earlier. My opposition is not to a green market. It's not to farmers. It's to the method. I brought this issue up at the Planning Commission, and that's possibly why we had a 3-4 vote. When you look at this issue, I think everybody here supports the concept, and we'd like to have it in Dunwoody. The question is, how do we authorize it? And there are two different ways it can be authorized under our code. And there's a philosophical difference between the two. The way that the staff chose to pursue is, and the staff has a customer service orientation. They want to make things easier and faster, and I kind of like that idea. But it's not always, in a zoning issue, the best way to go. They chose to pursue changing the base ordinance, which has, as a consequence, opens this up to not just this location, but maybe 20 or 30 other locations. Whether or not that will be a problem, probably not, because they've also conditioned it as tightly as they could to limit what can be sold, how, when, and so on like that. But changing the base ordinance is, in my opinion, not the best way to go about it. A special land use permit would go through the same process as this text amendment, would take the same amount of time to process through the system, and would allow this use for that one location. I don't think that we're so busy here in Dunwoody that we can't look at these on an individual basis. And that would be my preference. Given that, if you were to make the application today, it would be August before it would get to you. So I would recommend, because we all really do want that, if we wanted to start in May, you'd need to approve it tonight. But in the future, don't let yourself go down one path, when there might be multiple paths to take. That's my point. Thank you.
I just wanted to clarification. There is no vote scheduled on this. This is a first read only. So that just to clarify that, we are required to have two reads. It's the first read tonight, so just to clarify that. Okay, anyone else who wants to speak opposed? Okay. Tom just reminded me to tell you that the date of the vote is the 11th of May. Okay, anyone else speak opposed? Okay, with that, I see no others speaking. Would entertain a motion to close the public hearing?
So moved.
Moved by Councilman Taylor, second by Councilman Ross. Any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
You in favor of?
Yes, I said aye.
Opposed, same sign? Passes 5-0. We close the public hearing.
Can I ask for one piece of follow-up with Howard?
Sure, whatever.
Okay. Howard, question for you. The market typically opens on the first Wednesday of May. Our vote isn't scheduled until the 11th, which is 4 days after the first Wednesday in May. If the market sets up, and this is a little bit of a touchy thing here, if the market sets up at St. Patrick's on the 6th of May and operates, what happens?
I hope we don't even think of going there.
I agree. They would be operating. It looks like Mark wants to field this one.
Okay. Eat a boss.
Thank you, Howard.
It's a good question, and certainly timing doesn't always line up exactly how you'd like it to, that you could, get things to work that way. So the city's position is we work off of complaint-based code enforcement. So if we have something operating outside of the bounds of the zoning ordinance at that time, we'll go through our normal method. If we get a complaint, we'll go to the site. We will evaluate it, make a decision at that point as to how to proceed. Everything from, a warning to a citation would be within the bounds of what we could do, likely be more of a warning, and then wait till the vote occurs, and then after that, take the appropriate action.
Okay, thanks.
Can I help you with that?
It did fine.
I just want to add on that note, I hope that that's not even an intent anymore, because that will be about the last thing we need here in this community, I can tell you that. Okay. So much for item L1. Okay, L2 is a new item. Sharon, do you need me to help you?